Good morning. Take your hymnals and turn to 624, His Eye is on the Sparrow. Sing first and third verses, please.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give way to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I pray. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me.
Hymn 118, His Name is Wonderful.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
Welcome back to our sixth sermonette that we've had here at Dalton Hill Baptist Church. The
one thing you might be praying for. The council will meet here this Wednesday and try to discuss what we need to be doing when we do resume services, when we do it, and how we do it. So we appreciate you praying about that. If you remember the last 5 weeks, we've done some little sermonettes. The first one was, what are our eyes focused on, in Christ or our circumstances? The second one, if you remember, we looked at what is our purpose. And we realized what our purpose is, and then we want to prioritize our things and purify ourselves to fulfill our purpose that God's called us to do. The third one we looked at, what PPE are we wearing, and are we using it properly? And obviously out of Ephesians, we have things that we need to be wearing, putting on the full armor of God. And I think often we are, Christians are more familiar with the PPE that we're wearing outwardly with our mask and all the different things, more than the PPE of our spiritual battles that we're fighting and dealing with in our everyday life before the virus and afterward. If you remember last week, we looked at, or 2 weeks ago, we saw the similarities of Easter of 2020 with the first Easter. We called Joseph Arimathea, was stood up for Christ in the darkest hour, and we have others doing the same here today. We have some that, like the ones on the road to Emmaus, that need to have help with Scripture, helping to understand the situations we're in and how Scripture relates to them. We have others that are on Easter that were a lot like Doubting Thomas, wouldn't believe unless, no matter what the people said of the eyewitnesses, they wanted a personal encounter in Christ, and some need that as well today. And then we also saw Simon of Cyrene, who came to Jerusalem to have his sins covered, and left a changed man, having met and had his sins removed by Christ on the cross, and he passed it on to his sons, who were obviously living for Christ 20 years later. Last week we looked a little bit at first responders and how we can help them through prayer and through appreciation, as well as understanding, just walking a mile in their shoes, realizing the difficulties they're facing and the uneasy and uncertainty, much like those that come back from military, been in war-torn areas, and just how we respond to them. Same thing with the first responders here. I think we also then we looked at what can we learn from some of the biblical first responders. We remember we saw Joseph and how he was willing to give his whole life for others, and even the ones who didn't like him, but yet he saved their lives and saved a nation. We thought of Moses, a first responder as well, who stayed the course, and even though he was often misunderstood and certainly not appreciated, but one of the greatest in Israel's history of what all he did for that nation. We also looked a little bit at Nehemiah, and just when we think about the first responder, just how he was willing to change directions and going from a cupbearer to being a builder of a wall. And are we willing to change directions, whether it's temporary or permanently, and be like Nehemiah? And the last one we saw last week was that of Esther, and just who was willing to, was she raised up for a time as this? And we can ask the same question of ourselves in the middle of this today. What I'd like to think about and discuss today on our sixth week was just the challenges of resuming services here at Dalton Hill Baptist Church. If you think of some of the challenges, first of all, I want to do is just raise some questions. And we look at it and you think of physically, you're talking about the church, how do we do the greeting time? How do the greeters meet people when they come in the door? Do they hand out bulletins to visitors? Do they offering? Do we have ushers? Do we pass a plate? How do we do those things? The seating, there's people that say you need to skip rows and seating a distance apart. Just what are all of us comfortable with and how do we handle that? That of singing, some have said you shouldn't have the singing or only certain ones. And so again, we have that. What about masks? What about gloves? What about disinfectants? Some have even said, how do you enter the church? How do you exit the end of the service? What row at a time? How do you do it? So there's a lot of questions that we have to ask. And we are in the process, but all of us, questions we can ask. But not only physically, but what about personally? How do I plan on greeting others? How do I desire to be greeted myself? How do I make others feel welcome? And how do what happens if they do not have the same way of responding? One wants a hug, one doesn't. One wants to have a handshake, one doesn't. How to make them feel welcome even if they have a difference of opinion. And so I think those are all things. How do we conduct the services? These are questions we can ask both physically and areas and then personally. And corporately, is it temporary changes? Are they permanent changes? Questions we have to answer. The council will be meeting, and like I said, this Wednesday, and these are just questions that they would like have to answer and want you all's input on. So just be thinking about that and challenges of resuming services here, just some questions. But it made me think then when we're talking about this is rising to the challenges by gleaning from biblical challenges. What did people do in the Bible that may help us think about how to rise to the challenges we're facing? And the first one, if you remember, when we looked a little bit at Nehemiah last week, the first one I'd like to think of would be that of prayer. If you remember in Nehemiah, when Nehemiah in chapter 1, when he finds out from his brother that he asked the question about and finds out about how the people in Jerusalem are doing and the walls are down and in great distress, it says he starts to pray. And if you find out, and he starts to pray in chapter 1, and he prays for 4 months. And he's praying for that he will have favor with the king and that he can then do something about it. Even though he's that many miles away and he doesn't know what he can do, he is asking for prayer to that God to show him. It's interesting, he also is confessing, he's mourning, and it says he's doing it day and night. So he's doing it continually, and I think it's important for us to do the same thing. The first thing we start off in rising to the challenge is this praying. What does God want us individually to do in the middle of this? But what does he want us to do corporately as well? So I think the first thing that we can do then really is that of prayer. And so praying for the counsel and wisdom on when and how to conduct services and how each one of us is going to respond. The second one would be that of inspection. What I mean by inspection, if you think about it, with Nehemiah, when he prayed in chapter 1, when God then asked him, when the king asked him what he desired, since he had thought about it and prayed for 4 months, he then gives him a list, and he can tell him how long he'll be gone to build the wall. You find it in chapter 2. He also had thought through and realizes that I'm going to have letters to go through all these different provinces. They won't let me cross into their country without letters from the king. So he had already thought through that and asked the king for that. In verse 8, if you think about it too, he also said, well, I need materials to rebuild the wall. And he asked the king for the materials, which the king granted him. And you get into chapter 2 also in verse 9 of Nehemiah. You also find when he's looking at it that he also even asked for military escort. So when he comes to these different countries on the way between where he's at in Susa to where to getting to Jerusalem, they would see the military backing of the king, and they then would allow the people to, with Nehemiah, to go through with the materials and everything else because the king's present and his men were there. And so I think the same thing for us is we need to be praying and we need to be asking for wisdom, and God will be showing us. But then within the inspecting part, when he gets back to Jerusalem, I mean, he's going to build a wall that he's never seen. And so he's going to go and try to do it. He has to formulate a plan. So when he gets to chapter 2 of Nehemiah in verse 11, it says he spends 3 days going at night and just inspecting what all needs to be done and praying to God for a plan that would fit the need where he is exactly at. He's not building a wall anywhere else, but what does this wall need and how do I do it with the men and the materials that we have? And so I think that's the same thing that we need to be doing. One was we praying for it, but then what do we need to do and examine just here at Dalton Hill? What is best for Dalton Hill and its members? And the calling that we have to do, when should we meet and how should we meet? So besides prayer and inspecting, I think another one is that you find would be that what is our guide? And I think real interesting when you think about it. You go back in the Old Testament and you think about one of the greatest leaders of that, of Moses. When the Lord took him home, how would you like to be Joshua and have to now try to take the place of a man who was face to face with God and walked with God? And so in Joshua chapter 1, I think it's interesting when you look at it in verse 6 down to verse 9, you find a couple of things there. And you'll notice it says that he was to be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right. So wherever you go, you may have success. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do according to all that is written therein. For then you make your way prosperous, and you'll have success. I think the same thing's true with us, as our guide at Dalton Hill Baptist Church is still the Word of God. And so we will do not change. We're not changing what the Word of God says or what it means or the convictions or our doctrinal statements. It's still our guide. And so we want to use the Word of God. How can we use it during this time and stay true to it? And that's why in Psalms 119 and 105, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But then in verse 5, or 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And it's important that it is still our guide, and we are still our ambassadors as long as we live to be reconciling people to Christ. So when we're rising to the challenges and when to reopen, we want to start praying, and we have been, continue to pray, when does God want us to do it? And inspecting then what is best for Dalton Hill here, but still staying true to the guide of the Word of God and what we have stood for and what we are continuing to stand for and will stand for. But then the fourth one I think about that is that of conviction. Now, when I think of conviction, just the principle you have in 1 Corinthians 8 and then also in Romans 14, that of the weaker brother and the stronger brother. In the context of those two passages, if you recall that Paul's referring to how there's no such thing as idols and the meat offered to idols, it's just wood, and he also uses then the Sabbath, but a person has to be convinced in their own mind, and if they think that the idol is real and then they eat the meat offered to it, they then feel guilty about it, and so they think they're sinning as a result. And Romans tells us that we should not go against our conviction. And I think it's important to recognize, I talked with a friend of mine this last week over in Western Oklahoma, and goes to a small church like ours in Western Oklahoma. And I talked to someone today in Jenks who goes to a sister Baptist church in South Tulsa. And both of them said to me, if our church opened next week, both of them made statements that he and his wife probably wouldn't go for a while. They just don't feel comfortable going back right now. Well, there'll be some who say, well, we never should have closed, and we ought to open, and we should go. There'll be others like these two couples who may not come back for a while until they feel comfortable. But both are believers. Both are convinced in their own mind, and we need to make them feel welcome whether they come the first week or whether they stay out for a while and come later. And I think it's important for us to be convinced in our own mind, but then also to love our brother and sister who may be hesitant at this time. Besides the prayer and the inspecting, and then also this, our guide of the Word of God, and then our own personal conviction, I think as we saw in, or see in Joshua also in chapter 1, in verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9, three times he tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. And we are facing tough times, but we all need to be strong and courageous as believers, but as leadership and looking at these things, that we are going to stand up and do what's right, and we want to carry through with our mission as a church and as a believers, and that we want to continue to follow what the Word of God has to say. The last one I'd like to think a little bit about then is besides the prayer, besides the inspecting what's best for us, the guide staying true to the Word of God, the conviction that we each have but recognize and be fair and understanding to those who may not feel as comfortable with the same decisions that we might make, but have the courage to stand up would be that of change. And I think it's interesting, change is inevitable. We have change. If you remember, most of us probably remember when you, in church, were the changes you had in our own lifetime. We used to had to wear a tie and had to wear a suit every Sunday, and now not many wear ties and suits anymore. We used to have a difference in music. Didn't have guitars, it didn't have drums, didn't have praise teams up front. A lot of changes have taken place. We may have changed as well, whether they're temporary or whether they're permanent, with what's going on with the different pandemics that we're having right now. And I think it's important to recognize, you think in Acts chapter 6, if you remember when they raised up deacons to help a need, that they had a change, that they then had taken the needs to the deacons for the Hellenistic Jews to get served, the widows. You get into chapter 15 and you have the Jerusalem Council when they had a change and they were not going to put the Old Testament dietary law restrictions on the laws that on the Gentile believers. You had it in Acts chapter 10 with Peter, remember, when he was told the pork was okay and then applied it then obviously to the Gentiles being included in the church and to lead them to Christ, which he does with Cornelius in chapter 10. You look at it in Ephesians 2, which we saw that the Jew and the Gentile are all one in the body of Christ, whether free or whether a slave, as we find in 1 Corinthians. Changes come. Changes are inevitable. Changes are happening at the refinery. And so we all have to be willing to then look and then ask the question, is there anything we need to change here at Dalton Hill Baptist Church? Is it just a temporary change? Is it a permanent change? Exactly what is best to help us and do what is right, but yet still staying true to our guide, the Word of God, and our own convictions through prayer and inspecting. So when we think about it this week, just the short devotional that we have, are we rising to the challenge and then gleaning from biblical examples? And so we're just asking and covet you all's prayers as we look at these things, that we will truly pray about all these things, that we'll inspect and look what's best for Dalton Hill, that we'll use the Word of God as our guide, we'll be convicted in our own mind exactly what we should do, but at the same time, be allowing others to have their convictions, and still consider them a brother in Christ, and extend a right hand of fellowship with him, and have the courage then to stand up for what we believe in, but also be willing to and open to, is there changes that we do need to make, and then how do we make them, temporarily or permanently. Just ask for you to pray for us this week, and we'll have more instructions as we look what our governor and the mayors and all the rest are having to say. And hope you all have a great week, and continue to pray for Kay and Tommy, and think of all the things they're Kay's going through, and others as well. Just pray for them. And you all have a great week. Thank you.
Take our hymnals once again and turn to 577, In Times Like These, and we'll sing first and last verses, please. Is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these,
Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds.